Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers. Glad to be here this evening.
Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And we say good evening to the remnant and all those tuning in. And well, I know we've got Darla and Jen calling in later, so I'll keep an eye on the phone lines and let you know when they do. And looking forward to a good program.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony. Testimony of that which has been, those have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And the reason we give this testimony is to encourage others and to help overcome. If you have any questions about deliverance, you're always welcome to go to deliveranceusa.com, the wealth of information at that website. All the training you would need, all the prayers that we talk about, just about every bit of testimony that we give each week, everything can be found, those tools can be found on that website. Or you can get the book that Pastor Cox has written, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll get it out to you. And it is an excellent book. It's an excellent handbook where Pastor has just simply laid down the process and the steps for deliverance. It's step by step, with plenty of examples, and it would take a big dummy not to be able to follow that, in my opinion, Pastor. You've just done a really good job with it, and I'm so grateful that the Lord put that on your heart to put that on print, and I'm glad to be back with you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm blessed, brother, and you know that I wrote the book with simple terms because I'm pretty simple myself, so I just did it like a talk, you know. But the steps that we've learned to do over these many decades of this type of ministry, which you're going to get to hear some testimonies of how this type of ministry has worked and helped these young ladies that are getting ready to call in, That's what drives us on, you know. If we heard it didn't work, we'd have quit. But it does work, and it will work for any Christian that learns to do the steps that we have and applies them. You can minister to thousands of people if you can just learn these basic steps, and you typically do quite well, as long as a person wants it. We found we can't force it on anyone. God will not go against self-will. But the world is full of people where they're saying, somebody help me. I am tired of these problems and this torment. Who can help me? Well, we can help them through what Jesus has given to us from the cross.
Amen. And you know, that's what I was dealing with in my life. I had torment. I was looking for help, and the Lord sent it. And I know that the same with you many years ago, Pastor. You were dealing with torment. You're dealing with pain, the loss of your daughter, and the Lord sent someone to help you. So we're there. We're trying to get the testimonies out. That's why the people come on, because testimonies are so important. So important, because it lets people know that, hey, this is what happened. It was real. Jesus is real, and this is what Jesus did for me. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, Pastor, speaking of testimony, why don't you tell us how this Monday went?
Well, it was a great Monday. We had, I believe it was 16 cases, and I had a great case myself. We had the ministers there, of course, doing others, and I had a young man that with a drug problem. It ruined his marriage. They were separated, and he just got tremendous relief of what I call a Jesus overhaul. He looked wonderful when we finished. We spent, I guess, about 2.5 hours after the teaching and preparation, 2 to 3 hours of ministering yet. We finished about 11 o'clock, and he went out a happy camper. So, again,
God,
that's what drives us on, and I expect, in fact, he would like his wife to go through this type of ministry as well. There's nothing like both spouses getting ministry. I've seen marriages turned around when just one did, went through deliverance, but the ideal thing would be for both of them to go, and so hopefully that'll happen with his wife.
Yes, that would be the ideal thing. Praise God, because the drugs is just a curse on this nation, and drug use is such a huge door opener. I mean, it is the pharmakia of Babylon. It's a conduit for demons, and so many. It's just rampant on this country, and there's not a single person that I know. And there's not, I guarantee there's not a single person listening in right now does not have drugs affecting someone, if not they know, someone in their own family. And,
yes.
And there is hope. There is hope with it, and a lot of times, you know, some people will get clean, and they'll think, well, you know, Jesus delivered me from the drug abuse, and, you know, praise God that Jesus does do it, but still, there's a lot of things that'll linger on because of that. And it'll still affect the marriages, it'll affect their personal relationships. A lot of people may be sober, but they still deal with the thoughts, the wants and desires for it. And I know that with my life, that's the way it was. I'd been clean for years before deliverance, but I still always had that craving and that wanting to go back and do it. It wasn't always there, but it was there occasionally. And it wasn't until I went through deliverance that I could honestly say, it does not, I don't think about it, I don't crave it, and I don't want to go after it ever again.
Hallelujah. And, you know, there are steps for staying free as well that people have to engage with. But it's the Jesus way is still the easy way and the wonderful way. It feels so good to get delivered from these evil spirits that it's just hard to describe. And, of course, most people say they feel lighter after ministry. When we find typically there's a good 36 of spirits with each person, and that's minimum with many. And, well, it's no wonder they feel better. There's no way they wouldn't.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And, you know, that's just such a common testimony of feeling lighter. And we've often thought about that. I know a brother in Christ talked about it, and he said that he believes it's just a physical weight of the world's been lifted off. Simply the word says, take up my yoke, because it's light and easy. So when we have that yoke and the bondage of the demonic spirits off of us, and then the yoke of Jesus come on, we're going to feel lighter. I mean, there's just no ands, ifs, or buts about it. We're going to feel lighter. And Pastor has testified before that there's been people that knew their weight. I think it was the weightlifter, right, wasn't it? He had 23 pounds, weighed himself.
Yeah,
weighed
21
himself daily.
Pounds is what the
21
weightlifter.
Pounds, yeah. Uh-huh. 21 pounds. And you're still looking for that 30-pounder, the fisherman in you.
I think it's out there. We're going to get it.
We're going to get it one day.
It'll be 30 pounds worth. It wouldn't be just one, of course.
Yes.
But it is amazing that with some people, not everyone, but some do report they lost X number of pounds as these spirits are cast out. Something else, a supernatural. Apparently some of them
Jesus.
Have physical,
that's our
physical
Jesus.
Weight to them.
Yep. That's our Jesus.
These two ladies that are calling in tonight talking about feeling lighter, I would imagine they would probably mention that at some point after they were delivered, how they did feel lighter. We hear it from so many people.
Feel lighter, look younger, and the best night's sleep they've had in a long time. That is just, I've heard those three words out of just about every single person I know of that went through deliverance.
Yes, yes.
So, and you know, everybody wants to look a little younger, sleep better, and lose a little weight. So there's another reason to go out and get deliverance. Wait, look younger.
That's right.
appeal to their vanity. But anyway, if you have any questions again about deliverance, that's deliveranceusa.com. And that is just a wealth of, I don't know who put that together for you, Pastor, but that's a really well-designed website. It's easy to find, and the testimonies are there. The training's there. You can do self-deliverances through it. And it's just, if you haven't, folks out there listening, if you haven't taken a chance to go to that website, check it out, because they really spent a lot of time and effort to put that together. And again, you can also get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Get that by calling Richard at 307-742-7582, and he'll get that out to you. And we want to see this out to everybody, because it is a perfect tool that you can use with your Bible. I mean, it breaks down the scriptures. It shows you the scriptures that are in there. It's researched, shows you the examples, and shows you how to apply it. And it doesn't. You don't have to have any special anointing to do these things, because the Lord commanded Christians. That's your anointing right there. If you're a Christian, you have the authority. You have the ability. You have the ability to go out and do these things, exercise these things. And if Christians would just walk in this and understand it, Pastor, I believe this world would change overnight.
Yes. Yes, and that's why we're on the show tonight, is to get the word out of the reality of this. So others can come in and get freed up, and then they learn and free up others.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a networking thing, just like Jesus did with the disciples. Well, we're trying to do it in this area of what Jesus told us to do, this part of the gospel called deliverance. And, of course, we see a lot of physical healing take place. It's all the same process.
So the physical healings are always the neatest, because generally when someone has that health issue, the people around them are going to know it, and all of a sudden they don't have that health issue anymore, and it gives a perfect opportunity to testify. Look, I had this issue, the Lord healed it, and He can heal whatever you have. So it's absolutely fantastic, and I mean, the healings I've seen that Jesus has given, it's just... You have to pinch yourself at times. I mean, we serve a living God. We serve a living, gracious God who understands, and He helps us and works with us and provides for us and teaches us, and it's just fantastic. And I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And in Luke 15, Jesus, we read there where He cast out a spirit of infirmity in a woman that had it 18 years, he said, and it was put on her by Satan. And and that's exactly what we run into today, are spirits of infirmity. They come through the same doors that the other evil spirits come through.
Yes, that's right. Well, Pastor, we have Darla. Darla, thank you for calling.
Hi, Everett. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Darla. This is Everett. I'm so excited you called in. Well, why don't you go ahead, Darla, and give some history on yourself, when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then the experiences you might have had in your ministry and changes you saw, and then any other experiences you'd like to share in deliverance. So go right ahead.
Well, I was born into a family of Baptists. And
yes?
I'm not hearing anything. Is everybody there?
Yeah, I'm still here. And the phone. Darla, are you there?
I'm there.
We heard you were born into a family of Baptists, and then it shut right off. So,
oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Just right over.
Basically, I was born in 1965 into a family of believers, and have gone to church pretty much since the day I was born, and never really have gotten away from going to church or being a believer. But I came to know the Lord, was born again when I was actually about 13 in 1978. I was involved from that time on with I kind of got away from the church for a little while, and started living in the life of the world and with temptations and such, and got into a marriage at a very early age, and was eventually divorced from that marriage. But in the spring of 2004, my house caught on fire, and the fire started in my daughter's room, and it was the house was a complete loss. The remaining rest of the house was basically just gutted. But really the only personal possessions that was destroyed that was not replaceable was an oil painting of me at the age of 5. And I had really been saddened by this loss because the painting had been painted by a family friend and the daughter of my then Lutheran godparents, and had hung in every bedroom I had occupied since 1970. Now, I had sat for a college class in the summer of 1970, and after weeks of sitting, I had been sketched and finally put into oil painting for the class, and when the class was finished, I was given the painting of myself that was painted by the family friend, who was the daughter of the Lutheran godparents. Now, in the winter of 1970, immediately prior to modeling for that class, I was molested by the 17-year-old brother of the girl that painted the portrait, and I was smart enough to tell my mother about the molestation, and together with his mother and mine, it never happened again, but we'd agreed not to ever tell my father or his father, my godfather, and you know, we didn't want to have any hard feelings in the family. But several years later, my godmother passed away, and my godfather remarried a lady who happened to be a friend of our family, and she discovered while living in the house with him that there was a book of spells that had been about books about witchcraft and some books of spells that the daughter that had painted my picture had owned and practiced out of during the year of 1970. Now, amongst those, the books was a journal of spells that had been cast, and she discovered my name amongst the recipients that had been cursed. And because I guess I had snitched out the brother for molesting me, she had put a curse on me, which caused me to be promiscuous and have unnatural sexual behaviors. Now, this lady that found this book, she was never accepted by his children. She had married my godfather after my godmother died, and she'd never been really accepted by his family, and so they divorced. But she eventually ended up coming into our family and told me about this book of curses that had she had found, and that where the spell had been cast upon me through this painting. Well, this painting was then destroyed in about 2004. I had, during this time before this, I had numerous affairs, abortions. I dabbled in drugs and alcohol. I worked as a new dancer. I'd had associations with the top level of Masons as their bartender and monthly entertainment for their meetings. And I believe these things all happened to me as a result of the curse that was put on me when I was five. Now, the witch's name in that cast a spell on me was Dee, and lo and behold, my stage name ended up being Dee. I named my daughter Dee. I decided when I finally had grandchildren that my grandma name was going to be Dee Dee. I divorced my first husband around 1993, and I married my second husband in 94, and we had a very violent relationship. The relationship ended in divorce, not once but twice. I was about to marry him for the third time when he tried to kill me. The house that we were living in 2007 was full of demons, and even though we'd attempted to cast out the demons, we were unsuccessful. And on October 2nd, 2007, he then attempted to kill me by strangulation, and I was able to scream the words, "Jesus, save me," and he dropped the cord he was strangling me with, and he ran out of the house, and he disappeared for days. I called 911. I was transported to the hospital. He was found and arrested and charged with assault and battery with intent to kill. He spent the next 8 years in prison. He finally paroled out and everything. But on July 2nd, 2016, I attended a service at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. And during this ceremony that we experienced, we were able to cast out those evil spirits from this curse, and I was able to join with the ministers to cast out the spirit of a death wish. There was spirits of all kinds of spirits came out of me that day. I'd always attended church, and I'd kind of bounced around from church to church, but after my deliverance in 2016, I began attending a church service in Oklahoma, and I've been there ever since, and I'm just basically a changed person. I've committed myself to being the church janitor. I clean the church every week. I've blessed to have my family go to church with me. I've been delivered from so many issues during that summer of 2016. But one of the things that I had never been able to give up that was really a big deal to me as a result of the deliverance was that I was able to give up a habit of smoking marijuana, which I'd had since about the age of 13. And I can honestly say now that I've been delivered from that, and even though it's apparently legal here in the state of Oklahoma now and is accepted by the world, the Lord didn't want me to have that addiction, and so he was able to deliver me from that. But I'm very proud that I was able to be introduced through to Deliverance Ministries through a friend of mine that I worked with, and I'm very hopeful that in the near future I'll be able to maybe even train with those people and become a part of the army of demon slayers, kind of what I call them. I'm very, very appreciative, and just praise the Lord that I was able to find this ministry and be delivered from these curses and spirits that just damned me for so long.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's
Carla. Of course, we need an army. We need more ministers. The need is much, and overall, the workers are few, it seems. So that's why we're always sharing and giving testimonies and trying to minister to more and more. And then out of that, well, actually, I think about all of our teams have come through, come to become a team leader because they were delivered themselves at some point. And, they have the compassion afterwards to help others. And they realize the problems they had, that people have those problems all over the place. So it's so fulfilling. Well, how'd you feel after you were delivered?
I am a completely changed person. People that knew me before don't even recognize me anymore. I'm more at peace in my soul. I don't have any of the worries and stress that I used to have. I obviously had some form of a death wish because, you know, having been on and off again with an abusive marriage for 15 to 20 years, you know, was able to be delivered from that death wish, and now I'm married again to a very loving, God-fearing man, and we are able to lead our family now in the way that the Lord has wants us to do that, and attend a great church, and just I'm able to invite friends and people that I come in contact with that I feel like have been distressed by spirits and have infirmities and depression and anxiety and all kinds of different things and issues that they're dealing with, and I have been able to tell them about Deliverance Ministries and bring them to some of the Monday night sessions, and they've also been delivered from it. And so it's very rewarding that I'm able to have a place to bring those people to and that can get deliverance and be changed just like I am.
Word of mouth is still the best one. You know, hard to advertise this kind of a ministry. It takes so often someone that's close to someone to tell them about it, and they know the fact they're sharing it, it must be real. It sounds so far out initially about casting out of evil spirits. Well, it certainly did to me 40 years ago, and I know it does to many. But you quickly get used to it, the idea that these things are everywhere and they're bothering people all over the globe. And many don't even, most in fact, don't even know that the weird stuff they're doing is from demonic. That the world, the secular world, calls it mental illness. But in the deliverance circles, we would call that demonic and needing deliverance. And it's still the Jesus way is the easy way. Would you say that's true, Darla?
That's absolutely true, Everett. I've noticed that not only a change in my life, but I've, you know, as a result of that example and people noticing that, you know, and they believe me when I tell them, you know, my story, even though it sounds far out, and they are intrigued by it, and, you know, I tell them, what can it hurt? You know, go with me and go through a ceremony of deliverance and see if it doesn't help you. And if it doesn't help you, then you're not losing anything. But it could be an amazing, miraculous change in your life. And then they go on to tell their friends and family and loved ones, you know, about their deliverance and so on and so on.
That's right. Doesn't cost anything. There's no downside on our Monday night sessions, and the only way we could lower the price is to pay him to come.
That's right.
Yes, which I'm jesting when I say that, but that's you can't lower the price any more than we do. There isn't one.
No, the most you're out is just a couple hours of your life.
That's right.
It's priceless.
Well, I tell people they could go out to dinner and go to a movie for the same amount of time that they could see their life turned around from addictions, etc. Which one sounds the best?
Right. Totally true.
Well,
no,
are you...
That's quite a testimony you gave. I'm in joy that you've overcome all this, and it's just awesome. The all praise and glory to Jesus. But wow, great testimony.
It took me a while to convince it down to a reasonable amount of time, and it seemed like it was coincidentally the amount of time that we had for this segment of the show.
All right. Right. Well, that's very good. Well, in winding up, Darla, what else would you say to the listeners out there?
The spirit realm is real. There is no doubt in my mind that there is demonic in the realm, and that there is deliverance possible from afflictions and illnesses, mental disorders, just anything. If you think it's something as simple as jealousy, it's actually a demonic spirit, and it can be cast out, and you can be free of it.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much, Darla. You did a great testimony there, and we'll certainly encourage others. God bless you.
Thank you, Everett. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to give it. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, I just that's just awesome to hear what Jesus did for her. I mean, that just, it almost dropped my jaw when she was given the things that she had gone through in life, and then to hear the joy that's in her voice right now. I mean, that is something that can easily leave someone so bitter in life. And
yeah.
And she
had all those traumas.
Yeah. And I would bet forgiveness has been a big issue in her life, and I would say she doesn't have an issue with it just by listening to her testimony.
Yes. And she was so energized.
Yeah. Praise God. That's just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these testimonies. And that's why we give them. I mean, this is just, it's so awesome to hear these things, what the Lord has done for somebody, because it's, the world doesn't have the answer. The world is, well, we'll medicate it. The world is, we'll just shove it under a rug and not talk about it. But that's just awesome, just absolutely awesome. Well, Pastor, we have Jen.
Jen,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank you for
Jen.
Having me.
Thank you for calling. I'm excited you're with us here this evening. I know you have a lot to share, but if you could go ahead and start with some history on yourself and how you learned about deliverance, and then what your ministry has been like, any changes you've seen, and even other experiences that you've observed.
Well, you know, growing up, I experienced a lot of childhood trauma, which is growing up with a mother that was had went undiagnosed bipolar my whole life. And so I had a lot of trauma with that. And then I had other trauma with losing both of my parents in rather dramatic ways. And had trauma all with that, and I just never really dealt with it. And I wasn't really speaking out what the promises of God were over my life. I was always speaking out stuff that was not of God, like, you know, I'm worthless and no one cares about me. And I guess it was just the enemy speaking lies into my mind, but I didn't really realize it because people think it's their own thoughts and it's not. And so, you know, I went throughout life like that and didn't really realize how important it was to speak the positive in life and speak out the word of God. It's one thing to sit there and read something silently, read your Bible silently, or just read scripture silently, but it's another thing to actually speak it out. That's where the power comes from. And that's what I've really learned just within the past 3 weeks, is just the power of your words, and what we speak really does matter when it comes to the spiritual realm. It carries weight with what we speak, so we must speak the word of God, and that way it kind of takes away the edge off of the enemy somewhat.
Yeah,
pretty much, because if you're speaking the word of God out, the angels hearken to the word of God. They hear the word of God. So you're speaking out God's word, and you're not speaking out the enemy's lies, and it changes your thinking. I've noticed a change in my thinking just within the past 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, I've I don't have depression. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling more energized, more relaxed. And just going back to, like, dealing with the trauma part of it, like I said, I had a lot of trauma that was in my life, and just going through the inner healing, like, I haven't went through anything like that before. Just never really went out and asked help for any of it. And, I mean, I can just tell after the inner healing, I just felt a release, like all the pain, the sadness, and just like that feeling in your stomach, that feeling in your heart where it's just like you're stuck there in that mode, it's gone. So that's definitely a big difference I've noticed within just very soon after deliverance, and it's a very positive change, and you know, you feel better, you don't have anxiety, you don't have depression. So that's a big aspect of the changes that I've experienced. It's just the inner healing and the speaking God's word out loud. Like, I don't believe people realize, like, how powerful and how important that is. I sat in on a case with Everett, and the head demon got brought up, and the demon was speaking through the person. And while this was happening, I mean, the person's facial, the eyes changed. You could tell in the eyes that it was not the person that was talking, and the voice changed. And so during that time, Everett was asking questions, and the demon just thought it was hilarious that the person was believing the lies and speaking them out. So to me, that really woke me up. Like, I need to really watch the words that come out of my mouth. I don't think people realize how important that is. And yeah, that was with two different cases. It was with the people just believing the lies that the enemy were telling them, and they were buying into them and believing them, rather than, you know, if you hear a lie, something that does not line up with the word of God, then we have to speak out God's promises, God's truth, out loud against that in order to combat that. Because that's been my issue, is just the lies that the enemy has fed to me in my head, and I didn't realize that I was even supposed to speak any of this, God's truth out in order to combat that. So I believe that that's just really, really important for people, for Christians, for everyone really to know that believes in God, of how important that is, and just the weight of everything you say, it matters.
Well, Jen, backing up a little bit, how did you first hear about deliverance?
Well, actually, I started experiencing different things that I questioned. Was I figured it was spirits that were not of God bothering me, and I believe it was just God that led me, because I just heard Deliverance Ministries in my spirit, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna Google it, and long and behold, we have a place right here in Oklahoma City. So that was, I know it was God that led me there. For sure.
Wow. It's happened a few times before where God has given them, it's a humbling thing to hear that we had a man not too long ago that from California, it flew into Dallas, rented a car and came up, but he said God had given him deliverance in Oklahoma. And so he'd never been to Oklahoma and didn't know about deliverance, but he put it into Google, and up came Deliverance Ministries.
Yeah, I believe it.
If God is sending his people like this, Jen, we'd better be doing it well.
Yes, I agree.
Humbling thought. So when you Googled it, what happened then? Did you come right away to a Monday night?
I did. I looked up information on the website. That information is very helpful. You can get on there, and you know, it kind of gives the run through. It has some different videos on there, if I remember correctly, and there's the contact number on there, and I ended up calling up the number and asking. I got set up for an appointment that next coming Monday, and went up there, I guess everyone's really kind of a little bit nervous at first because you don't know what to expect, but it's really nothing to be nervous about. You know, you go in there, and, you know, you just feel so good afterwards, and you have so much more knowledge that you didn't know. Also, just to really fight the fight that we're pretty much up against in this world, you know, against evil. So you can definitely tell a difference just by, you know, the first time you go.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot covered. You went through the teaching, and then you were placed with one of the ministers. Did that work out pretty well?
Yes, it did. It was very good, and you know, people that are the ministers are very understanding. They're very knowledgeable, and they have seen and heard it all, I believe. And so, I was very comfortable when I first started going up there. I was very comfortable with speaking with who I talked to, and they seemed to know a whole lot more than what I did at the time, but now I know quite a bit more. So, yeah, it was a rather a humbling experience.
Well, and then, see, you came more than once, you said, right?
I did. I ended up going up there about two or three times. A lot of it was I felt like I needed more ministry. Then I just needed like a lot of inner healing, a lot of it was just I wanted to know more. Also, I wanted to know how to fight against the enemy. I did not want to be ignorant in any way when it came to battling the enemy and all the devices that he puts up against us. I wanted to know if I was going to be in a fight. I wanted to know how to do it, what to do, what I should and should not do. And so a lot of it was just I wanted to know more also. So, and just to get more healing and just to kind of get to know everything a little bit better than I did.
You're like any soldier, Jen. A soldier needs intelligence on the enemy, needs to understand how to use their weapons. And what kind of power and weapons does the enemy have? You need as much input as you can to prevail. And it's the same situation. So you came several times, even started into the training, but you even had some more ministry today.
I did. I had a lot more inner healing today, and that was very, very helpful. I hadn't experienced that level before. So that was really good. I needed a lot more healing with just my parents that I had lost and the traumas that were associated with their death. You know, I needed more healing in that area and just the loss of loved ones that you really hadn't worked through the grief. I think that was a big issue. Like when I had lost some people, in particular, my dad. When I lost my dad, I didn't really ever get a chance to actually work through the grief. I kind of pushed it mm-hmm. aside. I didn't have a whole lot of people to talk to, so I pushed it aside, and I guess I just really didn't want to deal with it and didn't know how to deal with it. And that all this happened back in 2005. You know, here it is 2019, yeah. And finally I actually have the tools to deal with it, and God took all that pain away.
Praise God.
So just, you know, the amount of time that it took, but, and, you know, if you don't know, you have to have knowledge.
We even got a hit demon up and interrogated it, and
yes.
I would say you got a really good Jesus overhaul. How do you feel?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I felt good when I left there. I still
Amen.
Feel good.
That's
I'll be sleeping good tonight.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, that's the fun part of this kind of ministry, is because, quite frankly, every evil spirit that comes out, the person seems to feel a little better. And in time you've knocked out 8 or 10, you're feeling, yeah, a lot better. You knock out several dozen, which most
yeah.
people would have, and it's no wonder they feel so lighter and all.
Yes, I agree.
Well, so here you are. You're going through the training, and you even did your first ministry last week, didn't you?
I did. I did my first ministry for first time, and I'm going to continue going through the training. Even though I've completed it all, I still want to. I want to learn more. I want to know more, and I want to make sure I'm doing just everything exactly how it's supposed to be done. And of course, it's all led by the Holy Spirit, so I will get trained by the Holy Spirit as well during this whole time. So, yeah,
yes.
I had a good first session with a person, and it was good. The person was happy, and I was happy. It was really fulfilling to see someone's life just change for the better, and you know how much more happier they were, and it's really really fulfilling.
What makes it pretty easy, Jan, is that we have that checklist. And so once you learn how to do the steps in the checklist, you know, you can minister. and that's what you did. Did it come pretty easy to you?
It did. The list that we have to go by is pretty self-explanatory. You just kind of follow the model, so it kind of just guides you more or less, makes it pretty simple.
And you're kind of used to following lists. You're in the medical world, and so that's probably a pretty common thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, in the step-by-step model of it made it really, really easy and easy to use and user-friendly, I guess.
Yes. That's all in the book. Those steps are in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. We were talking about that before you came on, but it's those steps are time-proven. I mean, I've done deliverance all kinds of ways through these 40 years, but we finally settled out on those steps that we're using, and I haven't changed it for many, many years now. I guess probably a decade or so. We might tweak them a little here and there, but the basic steps are still the same, and it makes it pretty easy where anyone can learn it. So, can you think of any other experiences? You've sat in on several head demon cases with me, Jen, and you're setting in your training. Do you remember anything else? I remember one case you were setting in on where the demon could see the God's warring angels circled around us, and even I commanded it to point out the most threatening looking warring angel, and it took the person's arm at a 45-degree angle. Do you remember that happening?
I do. That was pretty awesome. Like the demon had actually pointed out the warring angel. So that was very comforting to know that, you know, there truly are angels among us. So, and that was very comforting, and just a sense of like power, you know, that you're not there alone. God's with you, and God's got his angels with you also. So that was just rather empowering and comforting at the same time. And pretty funny how the demon pointed it out and recognized also that it was kind of under attack.
Yes. Yeah, intimidates them. Once they see the angels with their swords drawn, and they must look really big to them, because I notice when I have a pit demon point at the most threatening warring angel, it's always at a 45-degree angle. It's never level with us. It's always a 45-degree angle, so that must be how tall those angels are.
Oh, yeah, I'm picturing them being as tall as the ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. And to know that they have our back, that gives us additional feeling of security and a power to counter the demonic who's trying to overcome us. And here we are with the greater power, Luke 10:19, which every Christian needs to memorize. Luke 10:19, the one that we're in Jesus' name, we have power over all the enemy, and even the promise that nothing will harm us. So praise God. If you'll buy that as the truth, Jesus said it, which I accepted that as the truth 40 years ago, you know, that gives you a higher level of security and feeling to go forward in the ministry. Is that what
yes, I agree. That's it's a very helpful tool to use for sure, and to know.
We find out most of these angels, I mean, most of the evil spirits have never been cast out before. I think you heard some of that, didn't you, from one
yes,
of them?
Yes, that was with pretty much every single time, seems like.
Yeah. And you know, when you think about it, most of these demons have never been challenged. They're in a person until they die, then they come out, get reassigned. And goes from there, generation after generation after generation. And they're never challenged, the bulk of them. A third of the fallen angels, a third of the angels that fell out of heaven with Lucifer, become the demonic. And they're never challenged. I had one here a while back said he'd been cast out before, some centuries before. But this goes to show how many of them are out there and how many believers we need doing this kind of spiritual warfare. And we're hoping more people will grab this and run with it. The Christian body is sadly lacking and very vulnerable, having no knowledge of what the demons are trying to do to Christians and take them out and block their gifts, block their destinies. Not that a Christian can be possessed, we being secure in our spirit, man, but the demons hang out in the body area and the soul area, mind, will, emotions. And when people say Christians can't have demons, they're not thinking about the three parts that we have at all. So here we are trying to get the word out. Well, are you kind of telling people about it, Jen?
I have told quite a bit of people about it, and a lot of people, some of them don't really believe it, or maybe they just didn't know it ever existed. But it definitely exists. I have what they call the gift of discernment, and I have experienced myself just speaking out against the demonic. I've had them feels like somebody tries to put their hand over your mouth. They don't like it when you speak out. They don't like it when you speak out against them and speak out God's word.
Yes. That's right. The word performs itself as Christians speak it. Well, we just have about a minute left in summing up. Jen, what would you say to the listeners?
I would say it's very, very, very important what you say out loud. What you say out loud carries weight in the spiritual realm. It really, truly brings your words carry life and death. It's in the power of the tongue, so that's definitely a true statement to go by.
Amen. Well, Jen, Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that great testimony. It certainly was meaningful to many listeners tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good night to you.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, she's right. I mean, we can get careless with the words, say things, and the enemy's a legalist and will always try to twist and distort what we say and use it against us. So it's just a wise thing to try to bridle that tongue and just speak the positives instead of speaking the negatives, because words do have power. But we do thank everybody again for joining us this evening. Two great, fantastic testimonies. If you have any questions about deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com. Just about everything that you need to know is at that website, or you get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office. We thank everybody for joining us this evening. We'll see you next week. God bless and have a good evening.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.